football. The Inspirations Paint pre-game interview.
KFC, six tenders for $6.95. KFC FLG, that means finger licking good, pick up only. I'm a bit worried. I saw FLG and I thought, how am I going to explain this? And I worked out, of course, one of the great sayings is finger licking good. Inspirations Paint, one game wonder. Before we introduce them, we have to introduce the man who drives this wonderful segment. Could have been champion, Ian Cover. Kobe, all the way at much expense to management from the President's Lunch.
Thank you, Kingy. That's a lovely introduction. And I came out of the President's Lunch and got into the lift to come up to the media centre.
Yes.
And the lift doors open. There was Benny in a suit. I had to do the double take. I said, that bloke looks like Ben Cassidy.
And I walked into the Magistrates Court.
I did.
It was extraordinary.
Yeah, it was extraordinary.
And then I've come into the box. From the President's, Neville Whitley sends his regards.
I'll pass back on, the President of the GDFNL.
Has he been the President of the GDFNL longer than Sir Robert Menzies?
Yes, 40 years.
Wow, we.
They've actually carbon dated.
Yeah, it's just extraordinary. So Neville's down there, and Doug Wade is there.
Did Puddin go to Thursday night's North Melbourne reunion?
I don't think so.
Okay.
He is wearing a Richmond scarf. Why?
Because he's... grandson, Luke Traynor.
Yep.
He's playing for the Tigers.
It took a lot to come to grips with Doug in a Richmond scarf, but the President, Grant McCabe,
yes,
as he was introduced by Beck Madden.
Grant.
Grant. Is he from South Australia?
No.
Well, he should be
he
Grant.
Went to Newcombe High.
Well, he should be Grant McCabe. He gave a Geelong scarf to Doug.
Of which he's probably got 1,000.
Well, he did comment. He said, I've got one of them.
What's on the menu?
So anyway, and then I walked in here.
Yes.
And we've gone to another level now with this segment because the One Game Wonder's actually here in person. And
he
I'm
is.
Very nervous. So I'm renaming it today, the On This Day.
Because?
On this day, our One Game Wonder played his one and only game, the 5th of July, 1986.
He's not old enough to have played 39 years ago.
How about that? It is Scott Hosking. Welcome, Scott.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and look, I hope you don't mind being called a one-game wonder.
over the years, I've become to accept it. Not, as everybody says, one game's better than none.
Correct. And one kick would have been good too, Scott. I've looked at the stats, and I've got you down for 2 handballs.
Yes, and I think that might be incorrect as well. I think I only had one.
I did
pick one up out of the gutter and give it to the boundary umpire, and I reckon they counted that one as the other one too.
But were you on the bench and you only just came on late or something? Or?
Yeah, I came on for about 5 minutes before half time, and then I came on for about 10 minutes before the end of the game.
Oh, so the interchange wasn't being used very frequently?
Absolutely
was it?
Not. No, no, no.
And that game was against Collingwood here at Cadinia Park. And can you just tell us how you got to the club to start with?
Yeah, absolutely. I was lucky enough to come as father and son.
Yeah.
Dad played 70-odd games back into the 60s from 63 to 68.
That is Ron Hosking. And in those days, the father-son limit 50. Was 50 games.
Correct.
You wouldn't get here anymore.
Yep.
And so you came down and played. And then did you feel like you were on the cusp and this selection was coming for... that round 15?
Yes, I'd played in 85. I came down here in the under-19s and played then, and then 86. And both those 2 years, I was still eligible for the under-19s and played pretty much a couple of games in the under-19s and then played the rest in the seconds at that stage. Strung a few good games, and, you know, there's a bit of talk about... And I actually was listening the week before when Geelong played Sydney, and you were talking about Peter White the week before, that he actually played his debut game that day. And I'm listening to 3GL back in the day, and that's how you found out whether... And they said, Bobby Davis at the time said, man, there's a young bloke just about to play, make his debut game. And I'm going, you beauty, I think I'm a chance here. And it was Whitey. So, yeah, I had to wait till the next week.
And Whitey, he ended up playing 22 games for the club.
Yes.
And he played on that day here against Collingwood on this day, 39 years ago, in front of 17,659.
Not many here.
Do you remember much about the game?
Look, there's a little bit of a story to the game. I wasn't actually selected to play that particular day. I was emergency, and I'd been emergency for a few weeks. So I've come down, and the under-19s were playing the Curtain Raiser. We were playing the next day at Lakeside Oval in seconds.
On the TV?
On the TV, yeah.
Commodore Cup sort of arrangement.
Army Reserve.
Army Reserve, that was the famous Slug Jordan that was around that era when I think you better get the boy off. So I've walked down here, driven down to watch a few of the under-19 boys, walked into the gate, get to the door, and I think it was old Bobby Pettifer who was on the door. Great fella, Bobby. And he says, "Where's your gear?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Ablett's out, you're in." So I had to drive home, and I was living in Drumcondra at the time, and I could not even hold the steering wheel. I was shaking like a leaf. Had to go home, get my gear, come back here, and then it was just, most of the day was a real blur. I just really struggled to remember, because you just, you know, this was like 3 hours probably before the start of the game, I'm finding out. You know, my lifelong dream was to try and run out here at Onkadinia Park and play for the Cats, and got that opportunity, and didn't do very well.
When you came on, Scott, did the coach say just come on and play the Gary Ablett role?
definitely not. No.
I'd be dining out on it for 39 years, so I actually had to take Gary Ablett's spot. They went to the next available, and it was me. And did Oleg Markov get called up this year to play a game, and he was at the market or something?
Yes.
I think this is better. Yeah. Driving home to get your gear.
Yeah, no, it was, well, just totally different times then, too.
Can you imagine? So Bailey Smith's not here today. Imagine if he was playing, and he has to go home and get the gear. He's got to drive down the bush.
Back down to Bells or wherever he lives.
Yeah. Anyway, so the other, Stephen Hocking was playing that day.
Yes.
He had two kicks. Do you think the statisticians got confused between Steve Hocking and Scott Hosking, and they could have given you a kick each?
Well, potentially. It would have been nice.
It would have been nice.
As I said, I've dreamed off the two disposals because I reckon it's only one. And as I think it was a handball to Coley, Michael Cole, who spent a lot of time with over the road here at St Mary's coaching juniors through the days, and he kicked a goal. So it was a goal assist. Too,
well, Michael Cole had a very good day. He had 21-5. For 26 possessions, kicked a goal too. In Geelong, score of 8-10 to Collingwood's 19-15. Who kicked 7 for Collingwood?
Brian Taylor.
BT. Yeah. And I've got a feeling I might be wrong here, but Lee Matthews might have just taken over from Bobby Rose.
Yeah, Bobby Rose. Yeah. Okay. And the three Brownlow Vents went that day. You just missed out. Wes Fellows. How about this in the ruck for Wes Fellows? 20 kicks, 14 marks, 9 handballs and 15 hitouts against Damien Burke and John Mossop in the ruck.
Big Rex.
And Michael Schultz had 4 hitouts.
Did he?
Are they mistaking them with those spoils?
Yeah, I think they might be. How long did your career last here, Scott? How long after that?
Just the 2 years.
Just the two years.
Yeah, at the back end of 86. I did train for 86, but I had a groin operation, and then took off up and played a year at Ballarat, and then came back and had another. I trained again and didn't make the list, so ended up over the road.
The game that you played in, there were some, you know, big names of the Geelong Footy Club. Paul Couch, obviously a Brownlow medalist. Tim Darcy played a lot of footy. Damien Burke in the ruck. I mean, kids, some of the players I grew up watching, John Mossop and Gary Malarkey. And I mean, Gary Malarkey, I think, was a West Australian from memory. Came in, started in the 5, ended up in number 6.
Yeah.
And can you have any memories of those players?
I was very similar to you. I came down here, sat in the social club with mum and my auntie and brother and sister, and we watched Geelong play when we weren't playing back home at Lismore. And, like Terry Bright, I can remember him, and then he ended up coaching me for 3 or 4 years at St Mary's. You know, he was a favourite. Mick Turner. You know, I can't say enough good things about him, because he actually helped me outside of work, outside of footy for a long time too. So they were just, you know, icons of the game back then.
Busey and Mark Boss, another couple of... I mean, Mark Boss probably didn't say a lot, didn't have a huge profile, but was a very, very good
best
player.
Best and fairest winner,
Mark
Boss.
Yeah, he was a gun. Absolute
gun. He was strong, wasn't he?
Was.
He's very competitive, Mark. Lovely fella. You didn't say much. When he arrived to play, I had to go and interview him for the Geelong Addy.
Well, that would have gone.
We had to use
minutes.
A very big photo to use the space up, because I didn't have many words from him.
He's a
terrific
gun.
Fella. And Scratch and Neil, did you socialise with Scratcher? Because he liked to get on the town a bit, didn't he?
Yeah, that was, you know, different times back then, Cove. Mm. It was good fun, the Geelong Hotel, seeing Scratcher perform. Yeah.
And the Hosking family are still very much part of the Geelong scene, aren't you?
Yep. We've been, since Mum and Dad and grandparents sold the farm back in Lismore in about 1988, we've been in Geelong ever since then. It's been, a wonderful city. They've welcomed us and, we can only say good things. We're very lucky.
And your father, Ron's a lovely man, and he set you boys up in business for the rest of your lives.
Well, hope so. He's up on the Gold Coast at the moment, I dare say, listening. So cheerio, Mum and Dad.
Of course, KFC, and you've been wonderful supporters of K-Rock footy over the journey. It's just a nice little time that we've been able to get you to talk about your one game. But has it taken off more than you could have ever imagined, the footprint that KFC's now got across the region?
Oh, absolutely. Look, it's been, it's a long story how we got into KFC. We started as Ollie's and then KFC bought Ollie's out back in 1990. And Ollie's Trolleys was just a takeoff of KFC. So we pulled the signs down and put KFC up, and it's been, very successful since then, so we're very grateful.
I'm figuring there's been a few kids' parties in the various Hosking households over the years, and there's only ever been the bucket of chicken on the menu.
Yes, when you bring the... tenders are the go-to now, but I do field a few phone calls from a few people saying, can you bring a box of KFC around with you when you come? I think that's why I only get an invite too, and a few of us.
You played a lot of footy at St Mary's, but you've also contributed off-field, and you're still there as basically footy director. How much joy do you get out of, and I suppose joy out of watching the Henry boys hopefully Toby Conway that have come through the St Mary's program?
Yeah, well, look, it's been since... it really started with the Jacko Nelson era. We've had quite a few boys get drafted in since about 2012, I think. Yeah. So it's been really good that way. So that's what it's all about, seeing Ollie and Jack and, hopefully Big Tobe, because they're actually just going to give us a bit of a chop out in a couple of weeks to help us with a clinic that we're doing over the road. Those blokes, I just saw Mitch Cleary up in a couple of boxes. To have those sorts of people come through the club and see how successful they've got, that's what it's all about, being involved with community footy.
And we'll be there tomorrow because you've got a big game. Do you like those Sunday standalone games that you seem to be able to get when the Cats push you over to off the Saturday?
Yeah, I guess we've got to change our thinking around that, because footy now is probably a 7-day-a-week business, and from a community point of view, the best thing about those Sunday games, and everybody, we probably need to push them to start at that 1:10 time slot so people can get home and still have a bit of a life afterwards too. And everybody, I listen to you about Beyond the Boundary segments, and what K-Rock do for local footy is sensational.
We appreciate it. Scotty, we really appreciate you coming along. I know you're a little bit against it. We first flagged this earlier in the year, but we thought it was perfect knowing St Mary's had the day off. You're actually here, I think, as a guest of a local backer as well. So you've done well there. Get a day off, have a couple of quiet ones, and then roll into Anthony Costa Oval tomorrow for a big day of footy and netball.
Absolutely. Thanks, boys. Thanks very much.
Good on you, Scotty Hosking. Our one game wonder, thanks to Inspirations Pay. Sorry.
Let's not forget Scott Hosking. He appeared for the Cats here. On this day.
And replaced Gary Ablett.
And replaced Gary Ablett.
Inspirations Paint Grovedale. What's your next project? 138 Torquay Road in Grovedale. Scotty, enjoy the game. We'll see you tomorrow. KRockFootball.live from midday for St Mary's and Leopold. Covey?
I'd like to stay with you, but I think the duck is about to be
served. He's getting the Wagyu beef.
Enjoy that.
KRock Football. The Inspirations Paint pre-game interview.